Well, next week, the government will rush legislation through the parliament introducing advertising rules that apply to the same-sex marriage campaign. The details are still being nutted out, but indications are that the rules will mirror those that apply during a traditional election campaign, because this is a survey, you'll remember. It's run by the Australian Bureau of Statistics. The rules of the Australian Electoral Commission don't apply, so now the government wants to make sure that they do apply. But there's still a bit of a debate about what those rules might look like and whether they'll leave people vulnerable. Labor wants better protections. That's what they're pushing for, and we're still getting the details. Graham Orr is a professor of law from the University of Queensland, and he joins me via Skype. Graham, welcome.
Good evening.
So the government said pretty much they want it to mirror an election campaign. Is that reasonable? I mean, how strict are the rules that govern election advertising?
Well, they're rather thin. There's a bit of a furphy going around that election campaigns, you can't have misleading material or propaganda, but we've never really had truth to say in political advertising in Australian elections. And there's a great quote from Michael Kirby when he was on the High Court that Australian election campaigns were robust, angry, and exciting mixes of fact, comment, and prejudice. Now, Michael Kirby is opposing the plebiscite, but he would say, well, that's he was describing partisan election campaigns, and maybe we do need something a bit more sensitive for such a social issue.
Yeah, well, I spoke to Tim Wilson, one of the, he's a gay MP. He's been pushing for the same-sex marriage issue to be resolved, and he actually conceded the point you made. He says, well, there's no truth in advertising, but we need to, that's just part of the debate, that, you know, people are allowed to say what they want, that ultimately the rules should just make sure that there's no vilification or anything extreme. Is there an argument there that, well, you know, people do say all sorts of things, that's part of a robust debate?
Right. Well, the traditional way of resolving an issue like this, obviously, is to do it through elite representative deliberation, and the parliament has special procedures to try and ensure that there isn't things like vilification or abuse of privilege. There's nothing that's going to stop that, though, in this campaign. I mean, the electoral rules will only do things like, you know, certain material has to be authorised, but even then, things like blogs online can be anonymous. There'll be no, for example, you can't mislead someone in how to cast a ballot, but that only covers things like if I went around saying that you could send in your postal survey or plebi-survey ballot, you know, in January, as late as January. So I think the main things that will come in might be protections for the secrecy of the ballot. You know, there would otherwise be no protection that would stop, say, a patriarch saying to his family, sit around and give me your ballot papers and I'll fill them in for you.
Elections are battled out between well-organised and well-funded political parties. Used to, really, these big debates. They're fought across multiple issues. This survey is a single issue on a social issue affecting people, and it's a very personal issue for some people. It's a very personal issue for a lot of people, clearly. Do the rules need to go much further than those elections, in your view? And how do you do that and also allow for freedom of speech?
Well, it's too late to do it. I mean, the campaign's already started. This plebi survey, as you said, is already heating up. On the run, the parliament is not going to make, even with goodwill, laws that are going to be workable in that regard. The closest we might have is anti-vilification rules that may apply in some states under anti-discrimination law. But even then, vilification is normally understood as something like defamation, a personal attack. So there's nothing like the racial hatred laws to apply to slandering a community on the basis of their sexuality. And we really, yeah, you're right, we don't have a precedent for this. The only precedent we have is 100 years ago when there was a debate about conscription, and there were two plebiscites about whether there should be conscription in World War One, and you know that descended down into a debate between pacifists and Catholics and Protestants and imperialists, and white feathers were being exchanged, people were cowards or people were warmongers and had blood on their hands. It was pretty robust stuff even back then.
And what about social media? This has been and will be massive. Of course it is, particularly, you know, for the young vote. We all know, like, that's what most young people do. They get lots of their information on social media. They're not watching free-to-air TV like they used to in those numbers. How is it going to be governed during this campaign, potentially?
Well, it's not. And I mean, currently we have a bill before Parliament about tightening authorisation tagging laws in relation to online advertising, communication and elections. But that's, you know, that's really late 20th century stuff. The whole question about fake news and bots and so on is something that we haven't even begun to address in this country. I guess there's an assumption that people have been talking about this issue ad nauseum almost for 10 years, and that's why Parliament should get on and vote on it, and that a lot of people have made up their minds already. But I think with the postal ballot plebi-survey, as Michael Maley has scornfully called it.
Plebi-survey.
It's a Michael
That's
Maley,
kind of hilarious.
XAEC, it's a good term. I think Mr. Dutton and others have been quite clever in regards to this. Previously, the government was just kicking the can down the road for internal political reasons. Now they wanted either to defy the Senate, or they must think that there is something in having a voluntary non-binding postal vote that may mean that the sort of lumpen, small L liberal average person in the street is less likely to vote than maybe a more passionate group of people who are either older and use the post, or maybe for religious and other reasons are passionately against same-sex marriage. So there is still a campaign to be won. But we are in uncharted waters because, you know, if we stumble down the path of citizens' referenda, we should do so mindfully and using a system like they have in the United States. At the moment, we've just got this ad hoc vote that's been kind of made up on the run, which has only just been found to be lawful by the High Court, and it was always sort of plan C for the government.
So under what might be proposed, the government saying they want it to mirror election laws, would any of the advertising we've seen already, because we can only base it on what we've seen, the taste we've got, any of that be illegal?
Only stuff that wasn't authorised, but even then, stuff on the internet that isn't paid advertising doesn't have to be authorised. So without seeing the exact detail of what might get through the Parliament next week, the closest I think anyone's flown to the wind is, I think, claims that this is a vote about political correctness. Now, there is a provision that says you can't mislead someone in how they cast their vote. If you were to somehow cross that line and have advertising that says that, you know, in effect, this is a referendum to change the law on political correctness, that would be misleading someone in how they cast their vote. But the Australian Christian Lobby, for instance, are too clever to fall into that trap.
Just a final question. Apparently there's a person in Sydney selling their ballot on eBay. Now, they haven't even received their ballot, so I don't know how they're selling their ballot. I'm confused. But like, you've got to get your ballot.
Tout.
I mean, what are you selling here?
To sell it if you're a ticket tout, do you?
It's a bit wild. We, you know, they're going to be sent out, but calm down. No one's got it yet. Is that illegal? That's got to be illegal.
Well, so far we don't have rules to apply to the survey. There are some general rules in Queensland, in a few states that cover elections that are done under some law, under some statute. So my PhD was in electoral bribery, but I can't give you an answer at the top of my head. But obviously it's something that should be highly illegal because it goes against the idea of one person, one vote, which this survey is theoretically designed to achieve. The reality, of course, is this survey will be less statistically valid than if the ABS just saved money and did a giant opinion poll.
Yeah, well, selling your vote on eBay, that would be, well, it's quite an idea. Hey, Graham, thank you so much for coming on and giving us your thoughts on this.
You're welcome.
Graham Moore, Professor of Law at the University of Queensland. This is RN Drive. I'm Patricia Carvelis. Lots still coming up, including our Friday news wrap. There is so much news, so little time. But up next, the women who have broken all the rules.